producing over 500 hours per week of talk radio. GCN Live is a world leader in talk radio. Archives for the following program can be found at GCNLive.com.
Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So, I think Chris and I are both looking forward to the end of 2015. It was a difficult year for a lot of us, but more so for Chris because of, unfortunately, the untimely passing of his brother and the fact that you briefly flatlined, basically, right?
Yeah, I hadn't really mentioned that before on the show, but I battled respiratory virus. The doctors really don't know what it is. I'm pretty sure I caught it 7 years ago up at the Zuni Reservation at the Shalako ceremony. It was a ceremonial room, 80-plus degrees, little babies sick, everybody was sick. It was 5 below outside, the steam was boiling out of the room when the door opened, and it was just a germ. There was primordial bugs in there that I don't think have ever left Zuni. And, you know, I got sick for 3 months after that and went through three, you know, antibiotic things. And it never really did. It just kind of faded away. And I never really felt like I had kicked it. It just kind of went dormant. And then this last year, actually, it started at the UFO Congress. I spent 4 hours celebrating the EB Awards win by Ron James and Jennifer Stein, and I was in this smoky casino, and I had quit smoking for 2 months, and then right after that, that respiratory thing came back with a vengeance. And when I went up to my brother's memorial the first week of May, I really shouldn't have gone. I had a speaking engagement at Adams State College, and I was bringing the gear to the new base station location, so I just couldn't cancel. Plus, you know, my brother's memorial was going on up there in Crestone, and so I went up to 9,000 feet, and my O2 saturation level was, well, the doctors told me later that I shouldn't have been conscious, that I was in the low 70s, and you should be a minimum of 90. And at one point, the day before my speaking engagement, my lungs, you know, for a fifth time, actually, locked up, and I was unable to get any slack to get the albuterol in me, and I died. I was out for, they don't really know, but somewhere around 2 to 5 minutes, and it's just a miracle that I survived. The EMTs said I was blue, and my lips were black, and they thought, the head EMT said, it looked like I'd been buried for 3 days. And they started working on me. They didn't think they were going to bring me back. And I woke up and started flailing, and they tried to keep me down, and I was going to punch them out if they didn't let me sit up. And they were just amazed that I survived. And I've been having, you know, some weird headaches and, you know, I think, you know, some kind of strange lingering after effects from it, weird dreams. Now, I just really notice a big difference. Low-grade headache that almost never goes away. It's always there. And it's just been a really rough year. What bums me out the most is, you know, when I came to and they said you were dead, I thought, well, where was my tunnel of light? And, you know, where was my brother with a cold one saying, come on, bro, let's party? You know, I had none of that.
You don't then recall anything?
No, I don't. I just went black, and the next thing I know, there was light in my eye. A friend was massaging my feet, and another friend was had been trying to, you know, resuscitate me, you know, with mouth to mouth, and it was like instantaneous. You know, I went out, and then I came back, and there were several minutes there where I was gone, and I'm thinking to myself, you know, all these people, Daniel Brinkley, and all these people with these NDE experiences and stuff, and they write books and have whole careers. Man, I got burned. You know, I died and then have nothing to report.
Does it make you more skeptical of people who report remembering something when they were briefly dead?
No, it doesn't. You know, one of the things that I kind of reconciled the experience with was was the fact that obviously I wasn't meant to go. And so I guess the universe didn't send me any temptation to linger longer and maybe permanently in that particular state. So it doesn't really make me more skeptical. I could see the potential of having a tunnel of light. The tunnel of light I experienced was a flashlight trying to ascertain if my pupils would pin if they put light in them. So that was my tunnel of light, was a pen light in my eyes. No, it doesn't make me more skeptical. It makes me a little bit more circumspect about, the sanctity of, conscious life. And I don't plan on traveling up to 10,000 feet when I'm barely getting enough saturation in my lungs to be conscious. That was not a good decision on my part, but, I rolled the dice and almost lost and broke even on the craps table with a little bit of a downside with the new kind of types of weird kind of center of my brain, just super low grade. I don't know, just kind of a, it's not really a headache. It's just kind of a low throbbing that I can feel. But since then, I've been doing good, and I'm really looking forward to a productive new year. I've got lots of plans. Obviously, the San Luis Valley camera project is now going to be super front burner for the next couple three months. I really need to get this going, and dovetail efforts with Leslie Keene and Mark Rodiger possibly, and Douglas Trumbull and Mark Antonio. I'm really excited about the progress that seems to be being made in people's approaches to taking, scientific ufology to the next level. I really have a sense that really is going to be, unless this happens, I really see the field dying with the generation of conference attendees that are averaging up there in the 60s and 70s now. Unless something happens that attracts new blood to the field, there is not going to be a field, I think. There's going to be a lot of pop culture assumptions going on, and more and more people are going to, become interested in the field, I think, with the new X-Files reboot. And I think it's going to, unfortunately, be totally based on an erroneous pop culture perception of the phenomenon. And it's not going to do the field of scientific ufology one bit of good to have a lot of uneducated people allowing the media and the internet to be their educational process when it comes to, getting up to speed on what this whole mystery is about. And, we're going to talk, I'm sure, with Micah today about that. But I feel that unless something happens in these next 2 years, Greg Bishop's idealized view of the thing being totally stripped away and having to start from scratch, I think that's going to be the end result if these new hard data monitoring efforts don't pan out. So I'm going to make my best efforts to get this thing to the next level, and I'm a team player, and I really would like to be involved and have others involved and network this whole thing properly.
Now, as Chris mentioned, we have Micah Hanks waiting in the wings to talk about the situation. We're going to talk about the state of paranormal research. We're going to talk about what can be done to keep things going. What can be done to attract younger people, not just to look at it as pop culture, like we look at Star Wars, the new Star Wars film, as pop culture, nothing to take seriously. And if they don't take it seriously, they don't become the new generation of UFO and paranormal researchers, and thus things get a lot worse than they are now. Just briefly, we have a few seconds left in the segment. Did you enjoy the new Star Wars film?
I did. It was very predictable. It was real obvious. I think the plot twists were pretty, they telegraphed them a little bit too much. Of course, the special effects were just jaw-dropping. I wanted to see it in 3D, but I the timing of, the 3D showings didn't conform to, my trip down to Phoenix. So I saw it in just standard 2D, but I did like it. I thought the new characters have potential, and it was fun seeing Carrie Fisher and Harrison Ford and, a brief, look at Mark Hamill.
We're not going to repeat what Mark Hamill said in the film.
No, we won't.
Absolutely not. No, because we don't want to be the spoiler about which character will not be in episode 8. We've got Micah Hanks coming along with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
I know that a lot of our listeners are interested in UFOs, the issue of giant skeletons found in America, paranormal investigations, and what the top researchers think about such topics. One online magazine has been presenting such unusual information since 1985. It is Alternate Perceptions Magazine at apmagazine.info. Use their search function to find articles on just about every topic imaginable. That's apmagazine.info. So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It took hours before it returned, but I had already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Talk to a sales rep at iWeb.com. Use the promo code TechNightOwl for a special discount.
911, what is your emergency?
There's somebody in my house. Hurry, please.
A home break-in happens every 22 seconds. Homes without a security system are up to 3 times more vulnerable to a burglary. That's why they're SimpliSafe. In an emergency, our advanced wireless technology alerts police up to 10 times faster, and your connection to emergency services can't be cut because SimpliSafe doesn't rely on landlines. SimpliSafe costs less than half what traditional companies charge, just $14.99 a month, and there's no commitment to an annual contract. Protect your family with the highest caliber security. Go now to SimpliSafeDefense.com and get 10% off with free shipping and a 3-year warranty. Hurry, and you'll also receive a keychain remote worth $25. Try SimpliSafe for a full 60 days. You'll feel confident that your family is safe or your money back. Go to SimpliSafeDefense.com right now. SimpliSafeDefense.com.
So you've got to take a state construction license exam or certification. Can't decide on what books or what chapters to study? Discover right now how you can eliminate unnecessary books and wasted study time. At ContractorExam.com, our study materials zero in on state-required test topics in an effective, multiple-choice format. So whether you're a plumber, electrician, general contractor, or other construction-related trade, ContractorExam.com will help get you prepared. Visit us at www.ContractorExam.com today.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
We use mobile devices right against our bodies every day, but growing scientific evidence has emerged showing serious health risks associated with exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The solution is Defender Shield, the most effective mobile radiation shielding ever developed. Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation from cell phones, tablets, and laptops, and starts at just $64.99. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. For 10% off, use promo code GCN. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in mobile radiation shielding.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Micah Hanks of the Graylian Report returns to the Paracast. We're going to do kind of a year-ender, a year-beginner look at the state of UFO and paranormal research. But now, before we do anything else, Micah, well, I understand you did see, or saw it you did, Star Wars, The Force Awakening and all that stuff. What was your take?
good it was. it was a great film.
Understand, folks, if you haven't seen Star Wars The Force Awakens, Yoda is already dead several episodes earlier. He is not in this film. Or in this film, he's not, or something like that.
Right. Yeah, so that doesn't qualify as a spoiler. You know, that's the big thing these days is, in addition to the interest and the fandom, the passion for science fiction that we have, and it's important, and we can look at why here in a moment, but I'll say this. There's also an increasing concern among fandom about the release of spoilers, and I think that it's really been heightened by social media. Back in the old days, you know, you could choose whether you went to the store and, you know, bought a copy of a magazine or, you know, a newspaper. And, you know, if you saw a headline, you could choose more or less whether you wanted to read that. But in this internet day and age, there's stuff coming down your Twitter feed. There's stuff coming up on Facebook, stuff coming up in your email. It's much more easy to be accidentally exposed to the dreaded spoilers. So, we can stay in the no spoiler zone, and I can still maintain it was a really good film. And for me personally, I thought it was obviously better than the prequels, at least as good as the original three in a modern context, you know, with all the modern special effects. It wasn't supposed to have as much CGI, and yet I thought it had more probably than it needed. But then again, you're just going to have that in movies today. But on the whole, it was a really great film.
Now, we saw the 3D version, Grayson and I, and the reason was kind of the same reason that Chris didn't, which is we wanted to see the film. And the one screen that was available was the 3D. There was only 42% of the seats were filled. They give you all that information before you enter. And the next non-3D film was 40 minutes later. And since it was Grayson's treat, I said, you want to do 3D? The only thing is here, to be blunt about it, there's nothing in the film that lives or dies for the presence of 3D, in my opinion. Whether or not you see it in 3D is your decision. 3D tends to be a little dimmer. The colors tend to be less vivid. That's part of the process. But otherwise, don't worry about it. I don't even think it's worth seeing in IMAX, but it is a pretty good film. There's nothing really unique there. And the only thing close to a spoiler I'll mention, because everybody has said so already, so cover your ears, is a very minor spoiler. And that is, you know, when you look at Star Wars, it's all basically the story of one family, okay, beginning with Anakin Skywalker and his son and daughter, Princess Leia, Luke Skywalker. And, of course, Princess Leia gets together with Han Solo. And the only thing we'll tell you is they have a son. That's all we'll say. But this is a very dysfunctional family, you have to think. There's no peace for them. I mean, look at it from beginning to end. The father, the son, the daughter, another generation. Where are their good people? Of course, there's a possibility there's another child involved, but we don't know because we may not know that answer until the next film. That's one of the new stars. We don't know yet.
Yeah, they're kind of remaining mum on a lot of that. And, I'll point out also, with regard to that kind of intergalactic dysfunction that the family suffers, you know, from generation to generation, one question would be, of course, do the midichlorians have anything to do with that? Because going back to the first films, and we'll get, you know, slightly geek chic here, there was a lot of speculation. And some of this coming back around to the new film as well, but back in the old ones, really, what was the true origin of Anakin Skywalker? It was very much a virgin birth. And the idea had been that there may have been, this pureness that the Force was so strong, and the midichlorians actually led to the pregnancy of, what was his mother's name? Padme, I think, maybe? Then there's this other idea, which seems far more likely because it seems to be inferred, I think I believe it was in the third prequel film, that the Sith themselves may have actually orchestrated the birth of Anakin Skywalker, and that all of this would play into the midichlorians and the idea that really this one character would restore balance to the Force. But if that's what the result of the ending of the sixth film, which was actually the third film, Return of the Jedi, has, where Vader comes back to the good, into the Force, and he, of course, restores balance to the Force and fulfills the prophecy. If that is the case, then what will happen in the next three films? If the restoration of the balance to the Force occurred, are we going to see another offset? And I do know that they've said of the upcoming two films, 8 and 9, that I believe Rian Johnson will be directing. Of course, they haven't released any information. There's very little more than pure, unbridled speculation right now about those films. But the one thing that people are saying is that it's going to get really weird. They felt that this new film, The Force Awakens, would in a sense restore balance to the Force after the prequels, which really were kind of regarded as being lackluster and certainly not living up to the potential of filmmaking with the kind of budget that Lucas had with the making of those films. He went a little too far down the rabbit hole when it came to the digital stuff and, you know, CG backgrounds and all of this. I mean, there wasn't enough of that gritty, grainy realism that the first films possessed. We got back to that with Episode 7, and that the next two films, in addition to, kind of continuing the story, they're going to be a bit of a departure, because with number 7, restoring the balance among fandom and getting back to that kind of an old feel that Episodes 4, 5, and 6 had. Now that we've kind of cleared our throat, so to speak, I think of the... which was it? It was one of the UK tabloids that referred to this process as the throat clearing made by Disney, new owners of the franchise. Now Episodes 8 and 9, in addition to fulfilling this story, it's really going to get weird, and they say it'll take things into a direction where nothing has ever been taken before. But I'll close with this. There was an interview that took place, and I mentioned this the other night on the Grayling Report podcast. In no way a spoiler, by the way. This is something that was mentioned back in the 1980s at the time of the release of Return of the Jedi. But the director of the film had said that talking with George Lucas about the continuation of the series, that he said, we've made episodes 4, 5, and 6. Eventually, we'd go back and make 1, 2, and 3. And if 7, 8, and 9 are made, with the conclusion of the entire 9 films that Lucas envisions, we would see the great intelligence, is how he put it. And the great intelligence being whatever the mastermind working behind the scenes and controlling all the elements of the dark side have been, and whether, of course, the heroes can rise to the occasion of truly restoring the balance to the Force and reclaiming that from the Empire in its many manifestations. So it'll be interesting to see where things go, but it's probably going to be in equal measure better than anything we've seen yet, and yet unlike Star Wars that we've seen previously.
Now, just to point out as a reality check, George Lucas had nothing to do with the new film, nor the subsequent films. He sold the company lock, stock, and barrel. On the other hand, there is one interview where he expresses disappointment that J.J. Abrams kind of did a bit of a retread of Episode 4 in Episode 7, kind of covering similar ground with different characters. That's just a point to mention, but we'll get into more of that in a moment. We've got Micah Hanks joining us with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Owe $10,000 or more to the IRS?
Get on board with the Tax Admiral! Don't take on the IRS alone! I'll cut penalties and reduce your overall tax bill sometimes! I can even get it zeroed out completely!
We're an A-rated company helping people clean up their mess with the IRS.
If you owe $10,000 or more, then call the Tax Admiral!
Call 800-287-7180. Again, that's 800-287-7180. 800-287-7180.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with Principal Office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional and installation. You control what you watch when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com. And an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Did you know that home break-ins increase more than 100% during the holidays? It takes just 10 seconds for an intruder to kick in your door. But police response to a home alarm system is more than 20 minutes. And intruders are in and out of your home in 5 minutes. Thieves know that you're not home and have presents inside just waiting to be taken. And if you are home, how safe will you feel with an intruder lurking inside with your family? That's why police across the country are recommending you use Door Armor. Proven to withstand the force of a battering ram, Door Armor keeps intruders out. It's easy to install and barely visible, and your Door Armor is guaranteed for life. Go to invasionstopper.com for a very special buy one, get one at half off deal. These savings are for a limited time and only available to GCN listeners. Protect your valuables and loved ones this holiday season. Go to invasionstopper.com now. That's invasionstopper.com.
Are your Google search results killing you? Unflattering content in blogs, news articles, online reviews, social media, or other sources can jeopardize your reputation, your business, and your livelihood. Let Reputation.com help. Our patented technology will make the truth about you more visible while pushing down unwanted negative content. Improve your Google search results. Call Reputation.com at 1-800-831-0771 for a free consultation. That's 800-831-0771.
Hey, this is Marie D. Jones, the author of This Book is from the Future, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Now, we would be remiss in our duty not to mention the Paracast Plus. Go to plus.theparacast.com, plus.theparacast.com. Yes, the video is coming. Chris is sending me the unfiltered copy so we can try better ways to encode it so that when you look at it, you get decent quality without it saturating all your bandwidth. So it's complicated. We'll get it done. But we have the ad-free version of this show where we kill 41 minutes of network ads. We have the After the Paracast podcast. We've got some show transcripts showing up, more to come. It's a month-to-month, annual, five-year, or lifetime subscription rate, and we keep the price low. So if you want to learn more, go to plus.theparacast.com, plus.theparacast.com. We were talking about Star Wars because there's a big mythos involving that series. So you got my point, Micah, that George Lucas supposedly would not have done it the way it was done if he had any authority. What's your take?
I'm sure he wouldn't have done things the way that J.J. Abrams and after him, Rian Johnson will do the next two films in this final three installments of Star Wars. I do understand that, of course, Lucas is still something of a technical advisor, but having sold the franchise, obviously he is no longer the final word on anything. I'm certain that the general outline of what Lucas had envisioned will play out in these films. But there are going to be certain elements, there are going to be certain incidents that will occur throughout the films that probably Lucas would not have endorsed or carried out himself. And that's just part of the passing of the torch when it comes to the inner workings of Hollywood and the business side of things, although there's an interesting mythological counterpart to that, I find. And it's good to bring this up, really important to bring this up, guys, because like you said, Gene, the mythos surrounding Star Wars, it was very inspired by mythology. Lucas was always a fan of Joseph Campbell. Those final interviews that were carried out for the PBS series The Power of Myth just about a year before Campbell died, I think were actually filmed there at Skywalker Ranch. And it's important to remember the influence that not only mythologist Joseph Campbell and his work had on Lucas, but also just the idea of the recurring hero motif that goes all the way back to ancient Hermetic traditions. It's something that is really mirrored in a lot of world cultures, traditions, religions, and the mythologies, and the stories of the great hero, the rise, the fall, you know, sometimes the rebirth of the hero. We see all these elements repeated in Star Wars, and so one thing that apparently Lucas had always liked was the idea of a rhythmic or almost a literal rhyme, you know, a rhythm that you could sense with the films. And so the fact that Episode 7, as he interestingly points out, he didn't like the ways that it mirrored the fourth film. Many people have made that observation. To an extent, that was intentional in keeping with this rhythmic sense that the films have. You know, Episode 1, The Phantom Menace, I believe, this film had a somewhat similar, not maybe to the extent that Number 7 does, but a somewhat similar sense of rhythm to Episode 4. Now Episode 7 repeats that just as well, which is, to me, almost reminiscent of the ancient ballads and, of course, the epic poems, the Odyssey and whatnot, and any number of countless examples that come from different cultures and ancient traditions. We see a lot of these components that are mirrored in the actual filmmaking, and while Lucas may not like that, interestingly, it seems to be somewhat an intention of his own that these films would mirror one another in that sense.
Now, the other criticism we can make of J.J. Abrams is that he's very good or bad about retreading, and the argument relates to the film Star Trek Into Darkness, where they retread Star Trek to The Wrath of Khan in some level. All right? That's another example. There was an argument in Forbes magazine over all this, Micah, where one person was saying that the important thing about this is that the film was more realistic, showing, without doing anything about a spoiler, that after Episode 6, things were not just tidied up. They didn't have a happily ever after conclusion. Things didn't work out as much as you wanted, which is the point of the relationship between Han Solo and Leia. It wasn't just all sweetness and light. Nobody in this film seems to be getting any respite from all the things. But again, the new stars are pretty good. The new two young British stars, 23 years old each.
Oh, wow. I have to say, it's actually incredible how good they are and how well they are able to perform in this new film. It's very important, and I don't think that we got this with the prequels. To an extent, what we had with the prequels was, unlike Episode 4, 5, and 6, we had relative newcomers. As a matter of fact, I think that apart from some you know, actually remarkably lesser roles, we're talking about you know, bit parts in films, you know, commercials and things like that. There hadn't really been a real serious breakthrough role either for Carrie Fisher, Mark Hamill, or for Harrison Ford, and some of the other.
Well, Harrison Ford, of course, had Indiana Jones.
I don't think the first Indiana Jones preceded the first Star Wars, though, did it?
No, it did not.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying is, you know, it was kind of that breakthrough role for him. Now, he would go on after Star Wars, of course, to do Indiana Jones, which I think maybe that Harrison, at very least, probably enjoyed that character more than he did Han Solo. He's pretty close on the mark when he says he didn't think that Han Solo was the best representation of his acting prowess. And I think that, frankly, some of the Tom Clancy films that he did after that, Patriot Games and whatnot, probably were even better roles for the older, more serious Harrison Ford. But either way, again, those early Star Wars films featured these actors in these roles where they were able to kind of break through, and there wasn't already some sort of a kind of a public cultural, I don't know, what would you call it? I mean, an attitude toward them based on their prior roles. So it was a very believable element in the Star Wars films where these characters, relative newcomers, the actors themselves actually were, believably conveyed these parts. When we went back and saw the prequels, what we ended up having a lot of was we had, you know, well-known, well-established actors who were coming into these roles of these already now mythical characters themselves, Obi-Wan Kenobi and the like. And so when you see relatively well-known actors coming into these roles, I think that in a sense, the suspension of disbelief is diminished somewhat among the audience.
Good point.
Yeah.
Now, let me just point out a couple of things here. One of the stars of the prequel, Hayden Christensen, left Hollywood pretty much after a few years. He just gave it up. although I understand he's getting back into the business now. In terms of careers, Carrie Fisher's didn't go much of anywhere in terms of movie stardom. Mark Hamill became a pretty regular, reliable character actor, did a lot of voiceovers, and you see him on The Flash now, where he plays the trickster, Chris. Kind of a wacky comic book villain.
Okay.
I thought I'd mention the trickster because of you. But that's what's happened to him. So really, Harrison Ford is the one who had a real career. A constant movie career as an A-list actor. And I should point out one thing also. When he was playing the Tom Clancy role in the Tom Clancy films, I talked to Tom Clancy when he was doing that, and he was totally unimpressed with Harrison Ford, said the guy was dumb.
Really?
That's what he told me. Tom Clancy never minced words. I met him in the 90s. He used to show up at the Mac World Expos. And I once helped him with some problem with his CD drive on his Mac. But Clear and Present Danger, Patriot Games, Harrison Ford, didn't like it that much at all.
But question then, did he prefer in any way The Hunt for Red October and Alec Baldwin's portrayal of the character?
Yeah, or Ben Affleck in...
Or the current remake with Chris Pine.
Right. Did he prefer any of those?
He didn't mention Chris Pine because that happened after his death, I think. As far as the others, no, he did not. I got the impression maybe he would have liked Alec Baldwin, but Alec Baldwin didn't want to become an action hero. He also played The Shadow, if we remember. A lot of people didn't like that film. I liked it. But Alec Baldwin, I thought, was a proper shadow, a proper dark character. He also stars in the current Mission Impossible film with Tom Cruise, Mission Impossible Rogue Nation. That's kind of a romp. I kind of like that film. Let's get away from that, okay? We've got more to cover with Micah Hanks of the Graylian Report with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Conspiracy Journal is your number one source for the hidden world of the weird and strange. We bring you thought-provoking and controversial material for free-thinking individuals who are seeking what is really going on in our world today. Some of this material may adversely affect you. Other pieces are meant to enlighten. Either way, be prepared to be intrigued by such things as the reality of UFOs, ghosts, strange creatures from time and space, hidden conspiracies, time travel, Nikola Tesla, suppressed technology, and a whole lot more. You can find out more by visiting our website at conspiracyjournal.com. There you can sign up for our free weekly newsletter sent directly to your email address. Find out what they don't want you to know.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Just recently, we've witnessed some of the most catastrophic disasters in history. Be sure to prepare yourself with great-tasting, high-quality, GMO-free food that has a 25-year shelf life. Of course, we're talking about the foods from SurvivalFoodAlliance.com. And don't forget, the human body needs up to 3 quarts of water every day to remain healthy and hydrated. So check out our water bricks at SurvivalFoodAlliance.com. Go to SurvivalFoodAlliance.com or call 877-223-1776.
Hi, I'm Rick Osick with Famous Footwear. Did you know that premature birth is the number one killer of babies? That's why we support the March of Dimes in the fight against premature birth. Join us in supporting cutting-edge research, treatment programs, and outreach to help moms have full-term pregnancies and healthy babies. Learn how you can help save babies' lives at marchofdimes.org.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP, as slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Go to GCNteam.com or call 855-GCN-MALL. That's 855-426-6255. GCNteam.com or 855-426-6255. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Hi, this is Joshua P. Warren, author of The Poor Man's Paranormal, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Micah Hanks joining us. We started with pop culture, the influence of Star Wars, and we kind of went into some other areas. I guess Star Wars being the ultimate dysfunctional family, which influences so much, by the way, TV and movies like, believe it or not, this new Sunny and Light Supergirl series on CBS. Dysfunctional family. Two of the major villains, her aunt and her uncle from Krypton.
Well, it just seems to be a reoccurring motif. How about the dysfunctional partnership that's getting rebooted here this coming January, well, actually this month, with David Duchovny and Gillian Anderson. I wonder if we're going to see the same incredible upwelling of interest in the paranormal and UFOs that we saw in 92, I think, when the original came out. What do you think, Micah?
Well, I think if nothing else, it's going to be a continuation. With a lot of the sci-fi that we're seeing right now, rather than being new and innovative, what we're seeing is the continuation of the old. I mean, that with the X-Files, that with the reboot of Twin Peaks, that with, of course, the Star Wars continuation, that with actually the continuation of Doctor Who, that with Star Trek and the J.J. Abrams editions. I mean, we are seeing more and more the kind of rehashing and revamping modernization of these classic sci-fi motifs. I think really what I would like to see would be something that would set a new precedent that would influence culture in a different way. Maybe it won't have an effect on the ufological community like X-Files did back in the 90s, but I think that there are other areas of interest that could be spurred and maybe should be if the proper kind of science fiction and fantasy could be implemented. But that just seems to be the case, is that I don't know if it was the time and the era during which Star Trek emerged on the scene, and then the time and the era in terms of American cinema that Star Wars, not just America, of course, knowing that there were fine British actors in the film as well, but and that cinema really had reached. Have we gotten to a point, to a new milestone? And I know that you wanted to get away from cinema, but it is important, I think, to talk about this in the sense that how it actually affects the culture, and in this case, you know, UFO or mysteries, whatever. But has cinema reached a new state of the art that it is more difficult to set that groundbreaking kind of precedent that the old films did? And what effect will that have? It seems, if anything, I don't think that necessarily interest in the unexplained is diminishing, but it's a recurring theme. Talk about mythos and myths and motifs that we address on this show when I come on with you guys. We're always talking about, is there a lessening interest in UFOs, especially among younger people? If that's the case, could it be that the way that pop culture is rehashing rather than innovating and setting new precedents, has that had some sort of an effect? I couldn't tell you if it has, but I mean, because again, causation doesn't necessarily equal correlation, but we certainly do seem to see each of these things happening.
Well, before we go on, another area of retread is comic books. So There is a video, I think, on YouTube where you see all the people who played Superman. They've constantly rebooted Superman. They reboot Batman a few times. They brought The Flash on TV twice for one season in 1990 and now again on the CW. And the guy who played The Flash then, John Wesley Shipp, plays The Flash's father now. That's another thing they do, by the way, to pay recognition to the past in these new versions of comic book stories. They find the original players. Like in Supergirl, Dean Cain from Lois and Clark, New Adventures of Superman, and Helen Slater, who played Supergirl in an unsuccessful movie, plays the foster parents of the current Supergirl, always bringing back these old characters. Mark Hamill's Trickster was in the original Flash on TV in 1990 and is back in the new version playing the same character. So it is retread upon retread.
It's not only in science fiction, though, Gene.
It's everywhere.
What we're seeing is they're trying to bring back, you know, they attempted to bring back Starsky and Hutch and Charlie's Angels. And I think what you're seeing is the investors, people that put up, you know, these tens and sometimes hundreds of millions of dollars, are real reluctant to go with new writers, new scenarios, new creative ideas because of the risk involved. And so what they're thinking is, well, these worked in the past, so let's try to reboot them now. And I think basically that's a function of a reluctance to acknowledge and get behind new and creative ideas. And I think it's the conservatism of the actual funding of these films and underwriting these films that's driving a lot of this reboot sort of thing that we've been seeing over the past 10 years. And that to me indicates a distrust of a new creative talent, new creative ideas, and people's reluctance to gamble on, you know, things that haven't worked yet because they're new.
The other thing is here is they try to bring back TV characters in movies. And most times, they fail. Look at the examples. I Spy. Now, remember, that was Bill Cosby and Robert Culp back in the 60s when people liked Bill Cosby. They bring him back where Eddie Murphy plays the Bill Cosby character. And they didn't have a single clue about the great rapport that Culp and Cosby had in the original I Spy. They brought The Man from U.N.C.L.E. with Henry Cavill, the guy who plays Superman, and Armie Hammer, who plays the Ilya Kuryakin role that originally was played by David McCallum, who's currently on NCIS, by the way. And I thought that film, by the way, was pretty decent, but it didn't make back its investment. It was directed by the guy who brought Sherlock Holmes in the movies. On TV, bringing back a series, mixed results. The X-Files, we'll see, it's the original cast. They also brought back Hawaii Five-O, and that's done well. That is one of the few rebooted series that actually works. But I agree with you, the lack of creativity. People just want to know what worked, which is part of one of the reasons bringing back Star Wars. Why do you think Disney bought Lucasfilm? To bring something new to the table? No, to recapture the old success and make hay of it. It was a financial decision. Let's find something that is proven, and Star Wars is proven. Let's do that. Disney also bought Marvel. Why? Because Marvel comics still are popular. Marvel films based on the comics are popular, so they wanted to buy that property. It was a business decision, the tried and the true.
You know, hearing both of you guys talk about this brings something sort of different but entirely related to mind. As we see the repurchase, the kind of redirection and the rehashing of science fiction and comics and films and television shows of yesteryear in the more modern sense. In a way, although we've kind of lost creativity, or rather I should say we haven't lost it, I guess it's just being kind of redirected into old motifs and kind of the improvement or at least the expansion of older ideas. As much as I would love to see something really new that could set a new kind of precedent, we could ask maybe the same thing about UFO research. There is still so much interest in, for instance, like we might liken Rendlesham to being the Star Wars of UFO cases, you know, taking place at around the same time period. We could look back at, Roswell as being kind of the Star Trek, although it preceded the actual airing of Star Trek on television by a number of years. Nonetheless, you know, era for era, there seemed to be UFO cases that have kind of maintained the cultural sort of staple position for their era, kind of like these television shows have. And in much the same way, this is interesting because I don't mean to try and assert that there's a correlation here, but it is an interesting element to note that as we see culture rehashing old sci-fi ideas rather than creating new ones, the UFO community does seem to be doing the same thing. And many researchers, Nick Redfern, I've talked about it a good bit myself, we see that there seems to be less and less significant UFO activity in recent years, which would at least be comparable to what we were seeing in the days of APRO and NICAP and the UFO research of yesteryear. I mean, could there be some sort of a cultural component underlying some of that? It almost at times, when we take these kind of things into consideration and the way that trends seem to affect research or filmmaking or pop culture or anything, the similarity in the wax and wane of interest and redirection of energy and inspiration, it almost seems to be unavoidable at times. And I can't help but think that maybe the kind of trends we're seeing in filmmaking with regard to science fiction and fantasy do in some way have something to do with the changing attitudes about UFOs in recent years.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And it also is a perfect place to dovetail into a question from Ron Away, who posted a question for our guest Micah Hanks here at forum.theparacast.com. And he's saying, Roswell, Rendlesham, Travis Walton have been done to death. Are there any recent UFO or paranormal events that are receiving serious scientific open-minded scrutiny on par with our old favorites?
Well, how funny.
You know what? We're just about out of time for the segment, so let's hold that for a few seconds. And we'll give our benefactors a chance to regale us with information about the things they do. And when we come back, Micah Hanks will answer the first question from our listeners. There are more questions to be asked. We're wrapping up the year, starting a new year, trying to see where things fit after kind of a difficult year for Chris, certainly, and a difficult year for me. We've got to see where it's going. Micah Hanks, Gene Steinberg, Chris O'Brien, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich, working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our opportunities, you can start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss, work from home, and live a happier life. At Be the Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work-from-home opportunities that you can literally start today and be earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss. Get out of the rat race. Work from home. Go to freedom106.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 106.com. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You be the boss. Go to freedom106.com.